Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Normally, Corey Curtis joins us each Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We already had him on this morning, live from the New Orleans airport at 6:30 earlier.
He's in the air right now.
He's in the air. So go back and check that out if you missed it. Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, thegamenashville.com, all those places. Joe, some breaking NFL news real quick. The Kansas City Chiefs are expected to sign Juju Smith-Schuster back with their team, according to Jordan Schultz. Schultz put it out there that about 8 minutes ago that it looks like the Chiefs are going to sign him back. So he was with Kansas City 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, was with New England last year, got cut last week or the week before, and now is back with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. So there you go.
That's a weird one. It's like I wouldn't have much interest in him, and yet I think it'll probably work out fine for the Chiefs.
Yeah, probably be fine. I saw that. I mean, they hit a couple plays in the preseason too with Worthy just going deep, and it's like that's what we need is this nice downfield option again for Patrick Mahomes to just throw the ball to.
Yeah. Oop, mute. I've been better lately. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster had a good little run in Pittsburgh, and it's been kind of downhill since then.
He is a Super Bowl champion.
He is. So, well, good for them. I'm sure it'll be fine. There are some teams out there. I've mentioned the Lions. There's some teams out there that are kind of receiver desperate right now. Whereas, like this particular team here in this town, I think has a little bit of a
loaded
surplus. I do think there's a little bit, one of the things I saw floating around a little bit. Oh, Bryce Oliver, you know, like two touchdowns, and he's had a nice camp.
Good story.
Yeah, good story, but, you know.
He's not making
it. Let's not go. Yeah, no. And even, like, I don't think it's, like, a big deal if they were to lose him, you know. Like, I mean, they might practice squad him. It's probably a decent bet that he'd practice squad. But, like, to me, Mason Kinsey is actually a more viable guy to play on a Sunday right now. That's just my opinion.
I would agree.
I've become a Mason Kinsey lover.
You have. The Titans, their starting offense, when it comes to the actual preseason games that we've seen. So San Francisco, the starting offense did not play in the preseason game against Seattle, and then yesterday against New Orleans. If my calculations are correct that I just did in my head 30 seconds ago, and I believe they are, we have two drives for the starting offense with Will Levis under center in the San Francisco game, both of which ended in touchdowns. You had the first drive of the game yesterday, which was a touchdown, the second drive, which was a field goal, and that's it. So you got four drives, all of which ended in scoring drives for the Titans, three of which were touchdowns and some good throws by Levis throughout the stretch. Yesterday he finished 7 of 8 for like 118 yards. Had a couple throws to Ridley yesterday, who had two catches for 39 yards. Found Boyd on a nice out play there, which probably could have put the ball a little quicker on Boyd on that play. But all in all, really good for the starting offense in the actual preseason games. And the caveat being, against San Francisco, they played against their backups. And then yesterday with New Orleans, they played against their backups. So with that all in the backdrop, what does it mean? Do we take anything away from what the Titans did on offense in the two preseason games in which they played with the starters? Do you look at it and dismiss it out of hand because they played against backups? How do we view what we've seen from the Titans starters on offense to this point in the preseason? Four drives, three touchdowns, and points on all four drives.
Well, I think yesterday was a good thing to see. Yesterday was not nothing. It was good to see. The offensive line was really good. The offensive line had three drives, I think like 36 plays and 216 total yards. And that was two drives with Levis and then one with Mason Rudolph. They dominated backups. Good. You should do that. Dominate backups. And they did. They look good. I think the offensive line is coming on. I think they have a great coach. I think they got some talent up there. And I think that is my most, I guess, positive takeaway in terms of what it means. Not that I expect them to now go out and just maul everybody they face when they're playing starting defenses, but they're making progress. They've made progress. And I thought that even in camp, even in some of the days where the offense hasn't done as well, sometimes it's pressure, but sometimes that pressure is from the blitzes and the pressures that are coming from Denard Wilson, not Walker, Denard Wilson, PK. But, you know, of course you don't want to overreact, but just like you don't want to overreact when they get beat by their own defense in practice or when the Seahawks are better and the Seahawks corners are all over them and they're struggling. It was good to see Will Levis have clean pockets, and I thought he threw it pretty well. He had some big plays with his receivers. You know, the play calling, I've seen some people today, it is interesting. It's like, I really like the play calling. I did too, but it's also like, what does it mean? You know,
there's no game planning going
on.
Yeah,
right. But I kind of liked it too. A couple times I'm like, ooh, I like that play, you know? What does it mean? What is Brian Callahan going to be
just imagine what happens
out here once they actually play football?
Imagine what happens when he's got a game plan. If he's that good without one, what is he like with one?
I love that little fourth down. Yeah. Little flip to Pollard out of the backfield. Yeah. I'm a fan. But, no, look, it's all positive. It's just you just don't want to run wild with it like Big Joe did when he was like ripping all the experts who – you know, we're ripping the Titans, and I'm like, but they're playing backups.
My answer is it doesn't mean a ton. Like, I don't walk away from their performance in these two preseason games against backups and say, you know, that they've put the league on notice that the offense is about to just break out here. I will say there are a couple things that I think are meaningful. Number one, and I think Corey hit on this earlier, very clean. Like, the operation was clean.
Yeah.
They didn't get called for penalties left and right. You know, it was really – and again, it's only four drives, so we're not talking about a ton of sample size. But they just looked crisp in what they were doing. So that's good. Like, that to me goes beyond, you know, level of competition. That's also, like, just your level of execution, which is really what you can control at the end of the day. So that's all good. I think that's meaningful, and that's good, and that tells me that they've been coached pretty well, and they're in a good spot from that standpoint heading into the year. I do think it's meaningful to have your starting five on the offensive line play together in a game setting, regardless of what the competition looks like. Now, is it going to be more physically challenging when they're playing starting offensive or starting defensive units in the league? Of course it is. But whether it's, you know, communicating on a stunt or just being together and kind of developing more cohesion heading into the season, I always think that's a good thing for the offensive line. So those two things I think are pretty meaningful based on what we've seen from the preseason games. But in terms of the production itself, it just doesn't mean a whole lot to me going up against backups when you're doing it that way. And that's fine. Like, that's not a shot at the Titans. That's just really, quite frankly, the nature of preseason football. We need regular season football. So
we do. And now, you know, it used to be, that fourth preseason game, way too many. But still, it's like, okay, well, then you got a week.
Yeah,
but instead, we have 2 weeks. We have 2 weeks of just, we'll see.
Going to break down every possible aspect of the Bears coming up over the next couple weeks.
I mean, we
a lot of Caleb Williams takes incoming.
A lot of Caleb Williams film to watch, for sure. But look, I think it's a good way to finish, and I think the offensive line is where I really look. I like the potential there. Apparently, I don't know, Corey Curtis has something about futures bright at right tackle. I'm not sitting here ready to proclaim Nicholas Petit-Frere as the 10-year start at right tackle, and he and Latham are going to be the bookends or anything like that.
Yeah, quite frankly, I'm still worried about Dylan Radin's at right guard, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's the weak link of the line. But I'll say this about Nicholas Petit-Frere. He was a very good college player at Ohio State. He was a third-round pick. There was promise in his rookie season, absolutely. There were ups and there were downs. And then all the stuff happened with him was injuries and his own self-inflicted problem with the gambling thing. He's not a talentless player.
Yeah.
He's got some real ability, and I feel like he's in a good place, and he's got the best offensive line coach in the NFL coaching him. So I think that's the cautious optimism. The cause for cautious optimism is that group right now. I'm interested to see now throw Hopkins in with what we see from Ridley.
Yep.
You can see Ridley how just, you know, he's just different level of quickness and speed at times out there.
It looked like he was running hard yesterday, so that was good.
Right. I like the backs. I mean, like, you know, there's some stuff to like about this team. I feel like the offense is like, I think there's a certain level of like, it's not going to be a disaster. And honestly, I know that may not sound like much, but
that's a steep improvement over the last 2 years.
Basically what it's been, because they couldn't block anyone. Defense, I still have no idea, but like Tavondre Sweat, what we saw yesterday,
it's good.
It's a good ad.
Clearly, good ad. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your takeaways from the Titans in their preseason finale. The starting offense has looked good in the preseason games. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? We'll take your thoughts on all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We're live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Liam on the text line says, we have an embarrassment of riches at wide receiver 6. What a spot to be in. And always been that way for the Titans. You know, they used to not be able to put, like, you know, wide receiver 3 got a little hairy. Wide receiver 6 now, baby.
Who in the NFL can touch the wide receiver 6 group of the Tennessee Titans?
I mean, the Packers got a pretty good one, too. That Week 3 matchup going to be, I mean, Mason Kinsey and Bo Melton going to be out there making some big plays.
Like, you know, we talk about the Avengers. That's the Titans, the Avengers, like Jaquan Jackson, yeah. Mason Kinsey.
And here, Kyle fresh Phillips. Off injury, Kyle Phillips.
Back and now, in Bryce Oliver.
Oh, man. Just added another one yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
What a group.
A lot of
talent going on out there. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. I know you guys through the years have referenced Major League. So you remember when Willie Mays Hayes catches that weird ball and Lou Brown's like, nice catch, don't ever do it again.
Yes.
That's Tajay Spears on that hurdle yesterday, man. Like, I'm sitting here going, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen anybody do. Is hurdle, try to make that hurt. Number one, even if he landed, he wasn't going to get but like a yard at the preseason game, and you're our starting running back, which I thought, like just watching him play, I'm like, he should start. Like, I know Pollard getting paid a little more or whatever. But, like, after that hurdle, I'm like, nope, he's dumb. Don't start him. So I don't know. I like the look of the running backs. They're getting a little less love because everybody's on Levis right now. But I thought that was the stupidest play I've seen in a long time in a preseason game.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Adam went from Spears should start to no way he's starting.
You're all over him.
After the hurdle.
Yeah, you're all over the place. I will say that, that was one of those, wow, that was a cool play. Don't do that. I agree. Also, Tony Pollard looks pretty good.
Tony Pollard does.
I think Tony Pollard's the starting running back. Like, I think it's RB1, RB2. But close.
Do you think there's like a significant difference in terms of the touches they're going to get, though?
No, I don't know. But, I mean, if he's the way he's running, I could see him getting into a rhythm. I could see their running game actually being pretty good. And so, and if that's the case, then I guess, yeah. Maybe I am saying yes.
But Spears will not see the field as long as Tony Pollard is available.
I think that there will definitely, you know, there will be some weeks, I'm sure, where Tajay Spears will get rolling too.
Yeah.
But Pollard has a little bit more, I guess, you know, just a little bit more probably fall forward power run ability, which I know that's a dirty term now. Derrick Henry's going, you can't be a power running team at all. I think he fits in with the way that offensive line is constructed.
Let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. I'm a little more positive on the offensive line blocking against the second team guys. I just kind of take it as like a tune-up game, like in college, like Chattanooga versus Tennessee. We should beat the crap out of them and just get some confidence going, get some momentum. But just thank God we look good, and it wasn't like the Georgia State game a few years ago. So that would be cause to worry about, though.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Kyle. I mean, to his point, had the Titans gone out there and not played well against the backups for the Saints, that's all we'd be talking about today is, oh, my God, this offense can't get out of their own way, and they just got dominated by the Saints' backups. What does it mean? So, I mean, it is –
You can only control what you control. You can't control who the Saints put out there in the last preseason game. You executed what you needed to execute, and it's good to see. Again, I'm not having really any grand takeaways from it one way or the other, other than the offensive line, the more they play together, the better off it is. And you executed and did what you were supposed to do operationally. I think all that's good. So, to Kyle's point, had they struggled, we'd be talking today about, man, what's going on with the Titans' offense if they couldn't move the ball and score against the Saints' backups.
Right. In a matchup like that, you're really like – you're just – you can't have too great of a day. You can have a terrible day.
Yes.
And they didn't. So, good job. They didn't. They dominated backups like you're supposed to do. And I do think – again, I think there's some spin forward confidence with the offensive line, and everybody's feeling good, and Levis completed just about every pass, and it's all, you know, it's all good. And now you sit there for 2 weeks. I mean, you practice, but we all sit there for 2 weeks and wait for the football.
Cut down day, though.
Yeah, cut down. Next 2 days. That's true. We got cut. Is that okay to talk about the 53?
Yeah, I don't know. We got some people mad about that.
Other markets, they're not talking about that roster.
These people don't even talk about it. If you're player number 26 on the roster, it doesn't even get brought up.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone, by the way, said earlier they're like, let just cut all the backup offensive linemen. They're so bad.
Yes.
That's the unfortunately in this league, you can't do that. And many other teams have bad backup offensive linemen. I
measuring
promise you
cheek
that.
Size.
Thank you.
Thank you. Caleb on the text line asking, any word on the injury Campbell got yesterday? I'd feel bad for him to get a serious knee injury after all the work that he's put in. I've not seen any word on the Chance Campbell stuff. I will say, based on his reaction and how frustrated he looked, that made me a little bit concerned when he started throwing his helmet and, you know, he got back to the sideline and just eventually just dropped straight down after that. So, no, there's no word on that, but it did not look great based on his reaction.
No, it didn't. I have seen that happen before where someone thinks the worst, especially someone who has an injury history, and then they're okay.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's all it is. You know, you're hurt and you're not sure and you're angry, and then it turns out to be something minor. That would be too bad, obviously. He's been a talented guy from the time he came in, and he's not been able to stay healthy. And really, like, he's had a great camp, legitimately great camp for him. So I would imagine, based on what Brian Callahan has been doing, he will probably start his presser today with an update on him.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Daniel. Daniel, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. It's Daniel Benz. How are you, buddy?
Hey, brother. Good to hear from you.
Hey, I was just wanted to talk about Rashad Weaver and the way that he looks somehow worse than he did his rookie year and what they're going to do about that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, buddy. We talked about him earlier. Like, so Jalen Harrell has come on and has played really well for them in the preseason. And, you know, Arden Key, obviously not going to be suspended now, so good to hear that. But we talked about when the suspension went down that a big opportunity coming up for Weaver. And it just feels like he's disappeared almost this camp. Like, what do you make of what we've seen, or maybe more specifically what we haven't seen from Weaver to this point?
Yeah, it just he's made a play here or there, but and I haven't seen any like big issues, but yeah, not a lot. He's kind of placeholding is what I've seen for the most part. And with Jalen Harrell, I think Jalen Harrell is their, you know, Jalen Harrell is their, I'd say, third best edge, but given the situation they're in, I mean, I think he might even be better than Arden Key in some ways, you know, depending on what they're looking at. So I think Jalen Harrell, don't want to be overboard with this because it is still like, okay, who is he playing against and all that stuff. But he just shows up over and over again, and he's just solid and sound. And honestly, that's what I'd expect from someone good enough to start on a national championship Michigan team last year.
Yep.
They were loaded, and he was kind of lost in the shuffle. But he was a very good college football player, and he just is – technically sound, and he's physical, and he's got some pass rush juice. I mean, it's a heck of a seventh round pick. I'd love to go back. I remember when they drafted him, I was a little surprised even, but I'd love to go back and see what were the issues,
the holdups
that would not have had Harrell going like the fourth or the fifth.
What about the Weaver part of this? Because it feels like from the outside looking in, that there's just not a ton of progress there. Like, he's just a guy, and there was an opportunity, especially given how thin we felt like they were heading into camp this year, for him to have a bigger role. And it just doesn't feel like that's going to happen based on the way camp has gone for him through this point. What are your thoughts on the Weaver part of it?
Yeah, he just doesn't look all that mobile, you know. And he has lost some weight, which I thought would help him a lot, but it just hasn't paid off as much as you would have thought. And by the way, if you're going to go with like college football, you know, Tavondre Sweat, great at Texas. Look at what he's doing. Like I said, Jalen Harrell's a very good player and a great loaded defense. I mean, Rashad Weaver in college was an absolute monster at Pittsburgh. If you didn't watch him back then, I mean, I would have told you back then, this guy's going to be a big-time edge in the NFL. So, I don't know. It's a different system, but again, it is for the other returnees too.
Yeah.
So, I think he's going to make the team, but I also did notice Caleb Murphy yesterday. And there's a little bit more dynamic potential, I think, with him. Sometimes.
Well, think about what you just said, like the statement of, I think he's going to make the team. That kind of shows you the camp that it's been for Rashad Weaver at that point. Because I would not have even thought that would be a possibility of him not making it heading into camp.
Yeah, for sure. No, I would say Harrell has been the surprise, the positive surprise, and he's been a little bit of a negative surprise.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to Squeeze at Ryman Auditorium coming up on Saturday, August 31st, which is this Saturday. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to Squeeze at Ryman Auditorium on Saturday, August 31st. Nick wants to know if you know who Squeeze is.
Oh, Squeeze. Dude, what? You better jam out some Pulling Muscles from a Shell right now by Squeeze or the song Tempted. Jamming, absolute great band.
Who? So, Rod Stewart was on my flight yesterday. You know who Rod Stewart is?
Heard the name.
It's good to know.
Give me one.
Oh, we're going to do a Rod Stewart day for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. We were in the airport and this dude, I mean, you've seen Rod Stewart's hair.
Yes.
This dude was all like, you know, rocker looking jacket, hair walking down. I was like, look at this dude. He looks like Rod Stewart. And then we got on the plane and it was Rod Stewart.
Hey, it's Rod Stewart.
Hey, it's Rod Stewart. The guy who is Rod Stewart looks like Rod Stewart.
Wake up, Megan! I can't do a Rod Stewart. But yes, Rod Stewart Day coming. That's awesome. That's like that's almost like the wedding singer when they happen to be on that flight with Billy Idol.
Yeah. Well, look at this guy. I think one of my friends was just like, you're going to have to keep your lady away from that man. And turns out it was Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I tell you what, man.
Good looking guy. Great hair.
The ladies like Rod Stewart.
Great hair.
And so he's still got the full thing.
Oh, yeah, man.
The full, Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Did you feel like it was like, you know, his actual lettuce or is a little bit of.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's okay.
I mean, if it is, good for him.
Yeah. How old is Rod Stewart? I need to know now. I bet you he's 74.
79.
Whoa. 79.
Yeah.
Big Rod. Wow. These pictures of him on the internet. Yeah. Look at that flow, man.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Got a texter that says, let me see where. There it is. Trevor says, I'm really curious to see how active the Titans are with waiver claims. Unlike most who apparently were more worried about the GM's dress code, I actually was interested in what he had to say, and he said they'd be active in the waiver process, sitting at 7th in the order, talking about Rand Carthon. I am interested to see how active they are. We talked a lot about like their own guys and who could they keep, and you know, a lot of people different thoughts on Malik Willis today, but do the Titans look outside the organization to add maybe at a spot or two? Going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's the thing. All we focus on is all the guys they're trying to keep might not, you know, might lose, don't want to lose, et cetera. But they might be like, actually, here's this guy and this guy we're hoping get exposed and we're jumping all over it. And then the guy you worried about, yeah, get out of here because we got this guy. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, this is a huge day for all these front offices. Like, so much work goes into being ready for the right person to be available. And like I said, then you have to go through the order with the waiver claims and everything. But I'm sure there's going to be a surprise or two, at least, with this Titans roster.
What do you think of the Malik thing? We talked about him earlier. Played well yesterday, 3 of 4, 2 touchdown passes. I think I would describe his performance in the preseason certainly has improved. I think he's clearly gotten better. I also think he is clearly, crystal clearly, quarterback 3 on this team. Oh, yeah. Rudolph has played well. They brought Rudolph in to be the backup quarterback, and Rudolph is going to be the backup quarterback. So, with that in mind, how do you view the third quarterback rule, the way Willis has played, the 53-man roster, all of those things, and how it relates to the decision the Titans have on Willis coming up either today or tomorrow?
It's really interesting. As you know, Caleb mentioned, and Brian Summers pointed out too, you know, it has changed this year. I mean, the question in terms of practice squad, unlimited back and forth on the emergency QB, the question on Willis is just, do you think that he'll get claimed? Is that a big concern if he does get claimed?
Right.
How much do you look at him as maybe your future? Corey Curtis brought up earlier, and it's a good point. Did the Titans look at Malik Willis like, this kid can grow into being our long-term QB2? Most teams don't have long-term QB2s, but some do. It's not bad to have some level of certainty at that position and price control and all that stuff if you feel like he can keep getting better. But right now, he's definitely not as good as Mason Rudolph. That's a good QB2 that they signed.
Yep.
That's a good signing. He's as backup QBs in this league go, you can do way worse than Mason Rudolph. So if there is some, yeah, Malik is just going to keep getting better and better and better, and we want him part of this organization, maybe that is part of the decision of keeping him. And also it's like how difficult are some of the decisions at the bottom of the corner, receiver,
tight end,
linebacker, tight end, where you're like, nah, the numbers don't work out. I'm going to guess they're keeping him. You're guessing they're not. We're betting a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
But I think you can argue either way. I think it's interesting.
I think it's interesting. Look, I think another part of this too is, you know, Corey brought up if they feel like he's the long-term, like if next year he's your backup quarterback, do you feel good about that right now? And I don't know that you can make a roster decision based on that. I also wonder, like, if you're Brian Callahan, do you view backup quarterback as, well, I can also just go find a Mason Rudolph on the street. Like, it's what we just did. Somebody will be out there next year that we can go sign if you want to do that. I mean, you can bring Mason Rudolph back for next year to be your backup quarterback if you really like it. So I just don't know. It really boils down to me, like, do you think Malik Willis will get claimed if you cut him? And if you do believe that, how concerned are you about it? Do you care? Like, does Brian Callahan care if somebody takes Malik Willis and makes them their QB2 on their active roster? Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's probably not a devastating blow. I mean, even if you do like him and you're like, look at his progress, because, again, I'll say it again, I think the second TD pass he threw yesterday was – the best play he's made as a Titan, because it was, you had to go through progressions, you had pass rush all around you, you sidestepped it, kept your eyes up, and ripped it.
Yeah.
And that's what that's what we haven't seen a lot from him. We've seen, as soon as it breaks down, the eyes go down, the ball's tucked, and he's running. And so I think he's made progress. But even if you believe that he can get to a certain level and all that stuff, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
But so, I mean,
we're talking about a guy that's not going to play if things go to plan.
Yeah. Right. So it would be, I think it'd be good for the Titans to have him in case of emergency, as opposed to who the other possibility, like the QB3, we talk about, boy, QB backup quarterbacks in the league, boo, they're rough. Well, how about the QB3 pool?
That's not good.
Right? So, and also, he's been in this offense and everything. There's the continuity and familiarity. I think they'd rather have him. But, yeah, I don't think that there's a devastating outcome here.
Well, and right now, you know, if one of your quarterbacks got hurt, you can always call Tannehill. Still out there.
He's just waiting, man.
Give him a call.
He is ready to pounce.
Andrew somewhere. From Dover says, I got a feeling the Steelers will be the one to claim Willis. I do not see that. They've already got Wilson and Fields, so – I mean, he would still be QB3 there. Like, to me, if somebody's gonna claim Willis, it's gonna be to be QB2.
Right.
Someone
claiming Willis is a team that has a trash QB2. There are some, I think. Or, you know, well, I say that it's like,
I mean, there definitely are some. I can tell you one. Yeah. Green Bay Packers QB2 situation is not good.
Seriously, Malik Willis is sitting there. Are you, and your Packers are up, are you screaming at them to pick him up?
I'm not screaming at him to do it, but if they did it, I would understand. Like Clifford,
you feel better about him than Sean Clifford.
Clifford sucks. Now, they drafted Pratt this year out of Tulane in, like, the, I don't know, sixth round or wherever, and he made some plays, has made some plays in the preseason. So I'd probably rather see them just see what he's got. But, yeah, like he's better than Sean Clifford, or it at least is comparable.
And I don't know that Sean Clifford is the absolute bottom of the barrel, by the way.
It may not be.
The thing is, it's like in some cases, it's like I don't – oh, that guy? And I haven't – it's not like I've been watching him play,
yeah.
Right? People can get better. It's allowed.
Tommy says, I don't see cutting Willis. He's due $1 million, and we need three QBs now. We don't want to be in the 49ers situation 2 years ago. But you know why that situation's famous? Because it never happens. That's why. Like yeah. we talk, I agree, you don't want to be in that situation, but that never happens in the NFL. Like how often does it happen to where you're down to your third quarterback who is active on game day?
And typically it also was relevant because they were a great team. I mean, typically if you get there, your season's toast anyway.
Right. So, I'm just saying.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's I've been sort of, yeah, they'll keep him all along, but I don't know. There's so many other factors, you know. It's again, the long-term view and the other decisions on the roster and some of those decisions. Which of those decisions the Titans feel like, ooh, cut him and we really want him on the practice squad, but if we cut him, we may not get him on the practice squad. Who is it? I mean, DMR would be – we don't even need to say his name anymore. We just call him DMR.
DMR.
Be the one guy I look at and say, I could see a team being like, oh, okay, there's something there.
Yeah, I could see that. And Corey's convinced they're keeping four tight ends. Are you? You think four is the magic number?
You know, when they came out with Vinette yesterday like that, I was like, yeah, it is worth reminding that he's, you know, that he's in the plans.
Threw a tight end screen to him, too. So, it was like Jeff Swain back in the day. I was like, look at there.
Wow. There you go. Luke Stocker, who's a coach now. Yeah, I think they'll keep four. And again, stuff like that makes it harder to keep a Willis.
So no Odukoya back on the international exemption
spot? Yeah, you have the exemption, and so I think you use it.
Ran his butt off yesterday, by the way.
Hey, man, he has gotten better and better, and there is something there with him too. There really is. But, yeah, I think that's the exemption spot again.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans, the preseason finale, which, by the way, they did go 3-0. They did score 30 points yesterday. Maybe it's a new era.
Wow.
Here with the Titans. We'll get more into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley. Joe Rexrode, taking your thoughts. Seeing this clip again, it's on my Twitter page right now, of James Williams just absolutely annihilating Spencer Rattler yesterday. That's a good hit by James Williams. It looked like that hurt.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler did not look like he enjoyed that hit at all.
He did not. Spencer Rattler looked pretty good, though, by the way.
He did. Good throws.
There's going to be some Spencer Rattler.
Did he know the Titan signals? Did he steal the signs?
That's a good question. I don't know. He sees a team from Tennessee, and he's like, okay.
All righty.
Good memories of just playing catch for an entire night.
Like, wow, they're open. They're wide open. What's going on out here?
Gosh. I wonder if are Saints fans poised to scream for Rattler over Carr here soon?
Maybe so.
Probably, right? I mean, Carr, it's okay.
They're a weird team to me. They just kind of feel like they're just – there, kind of stuck right now.
Yeah.
That whole division kind of feels that way to some degree, except our boy Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I don't know. Watch out for the Dirty Birds, baby. I think they're coming this year.
Wes in Clarksville says, have y'all talked about the new tight end yet? They need to find a way to keep him. I'd sacrifice losing Burks as a receiver so I could have him. Sacrifice Burks for DMR. This is from Wes in Clarksville. I assume DMR who he's talking about.
You would not want to lose Burks. You don't want to lose Burks. Burks is not part of the great, you know, group of wide receiver six. He's actually ahead of that on the depth chart. So I guess it's really – is it really – yeah, it's wide receiver six because it's like he and NWI are co-five, and then it's just a
– five are easy.
A group of just – yeah, fantastic. But, Jaquan Jackson
is going to be wide receiver six.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. And, yeah, we've talked about DMR. He's good enough in the preseason to just be DMR. He's good. I think they'll keep him. I don't know that he's going to be some
– how much is he going to play?
Game-changing tight end this year for the Titans, yeah. But I'd keep him on my roster.
I would keep him. We'll see. I think they will. I think four is probably going to be the number there, and you'll have, I guess, Vinette and DMR. Just bring him in there to hit. You can block people left and right.
Yeah.
Or throw a tight end screen. Vinette's versatile, as we saw yesterday.
He looked good out there.
He did. Made the catches that he was supposed to make at that point.
So, by the way, the practice squad thing, because I owe an apology to Caleb, too. I need to leave this link that I gave him, which was that they can now come for the practice squad. They still have to be on the 53. So, that is my mistake.
Okay, talking about third QB.
So, basically, yeah, this link was before the NFLPA rejected it. So, yeah, you have to be on the 53, to be able to be the emergency QB, which is what it was last year.
Right, which is different from the 48 on game day, but yes.
But you have to be on that too.
Right.
Right.
So, it's a rule that's designed to help you, but Brian Callahan talked about this last week. It doesn't really help you that much. Like, it doesn't change how you view the roster that much when it comes down to the third quarterback rule. So, I think everybody thinks that it's like this big, big saving grace to all these teams with a third quarterback, and I don't think the coaches really view it that way based on what they've said.
Right. It's just like on a particular game day, if you know, some people will value that, and they have the option now. But then how many – like, did it happen last year? I don't think it ever came into play, right?
No, I don't think it happened.
Yeah.
Well, the other part is, like, there's so much made of who makes the 53. Like, what's the roster going to look like? And then between now and the end of the season, the 53 will change, like, 1,000 times.
Well, even the initial will change because of different things, right? There's IR, and there's other waiver claims, and there's – I mean, like there's always this, like, oh, wow, this guy made the 53.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day, it's like, well, he got cut because he just picked up this guy off waivers. Oh,
exactly.
Okay,
it changes all the time.
Yes. What you hope if you're a Titans fan is this 53, this roster doesn't change as much as it has been changing, which is, like, the most in the league, largely because of the injuries.
Overall takeaways from Levis in the preseason. Now that we've officially gotten through it and camp is over, week one's coming up against the Bears. We're now in official preparation to game number one against Chicago. Your takeaways from Will Levis with the picture now complete with his preseason work.
Well, I think that yesterday was a nice thing to build on for him. Yes, backups in coverage, backups rushing, backups not pressuring him, backups not covering his receivers. But he made some nice throws, some quick reads. Look good out there. I think it's been a very challenging preseason for him. And at times, it's just he has missed some stuff. He's made some great throws. He's been under duress. And I think that is the Titans' defensive plan. By the way, there was this little zone blitz yesterday on a third and long, which they gave up with Rashad Weaver dropping. And it was quite an awkward look.
Did not go
him
well.
In coverage. They blitzed a linebacker and safety, dropped him, and gave it up. But this defense is going to be aggressive. I think that's been at times to his detriment, but he's come through it. I think he's ready to really give it a go. I mean, I don't think Titans fans should be any less excited about him right now than they were months ago when you knew that this was going to be the opportunity he was going to get. We're going to find out, but I think he's put in the work, and it seems like he and Callahan work well together, and we're going to see all of it married together. This offensive line that I think is better, Callahan is a play caller, and then Levis is a quarterback. I mean, you should be excited. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but there's a lot of promise there.
Well, and now, Snead, we're going to see him on the field, presumably, the next time they're out there. Awuzie coming back from the calf. Hopkins, is he going to be ready for week one? We've not seen a lot of these pieces together yet on the field at the same time. You brought it up. Like,
I'm excited to see Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd together on the field in a game setting, which we have not seen yet at this point. That first time we're going to see is week one, presumably, if Hopkins is able to go. So what does that look like for Levis? And how do you kind of layer your routes that way? What's Levis's favorite target going to end up being when it goes that way? Some nice balls to Ridley yesterday, so that was good to see. So that part of it is exciting. I think if you're a Titans fan heading into it, the idea of those three together.
I mean, if he gets protection and he's able to go through his reads and execute, like, there's going to be a problem for a defense against those three receivers, right? Like, somebody – like, those guys can get open, even if they're the focal point. All of them have had that success, so – I mean, we're talking ourselves into an 11-win season today.
Well, and if
– After 2 weeks, it might be 14.
If the Titans come out there and the offense looks good in week one, then we know the answer. We've unlocked the formula. It's the preseason. You play them in the preseason. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it has to be.
How many – do we know – I mean, obviously the Saints – a lot of teams in the last game didn't play their starters, but I feel like most teams have at some point, right?
Most teams, I think, have played them at some point, yes.
I can't think of, and if anybody can think of it, let me know. But I can't think of anybody who was just like.
Well, I know Rodgers didn't play.
That's right, yeah. Rodgers. But teams that just went no start, like a whole bunch of starters never played.
I don't.
Like, that's basically what Vrabel went to.
Yeah.
Underrated reason he got fired.
I mean, Raheem Morris doesn't play anybody, not even Michael Penix.
That's right. So the Falcons kind of go with that. Yeah. So there you go. Now I feel now you got me worried about the Falcons.
We've seen enough from that kid. Don't need to see him play anymore.
Yeah. Got to save him. Really? Well, to be fair.
He's not going to play for 4 years, but okay.
Well, to be fair, he probably needs about 2 years to get totally over all the injuries he had in college football.
Now, that's the Askarov plan right there. Penix will be there just waiting in the wings behind Kirk Cousins.
That's right.
Good to see you.
So, Willie, you got – yeah. So, there you go, Willie. You got the Falcons.
Congratulations. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason, Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.